And you might like to turn in your Bible to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 21. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, open thy word, so help us. And we'll thank you very, very much in Christ's name. Amen. In our sharing together, we found in John chapter 21, Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and two disciples, unnamed, in fishing, and they end up on the beach, and the Lord feeds them breakfast, and all of that. And so that we know that instead of being where they should be, they at least have now arrived, and God is standing in front of them, feeding them breakfast. And in the process, all of that went well, quiet. And then Lord had them, and as they're sitting there eating breakfast, having breakfast, he sits there and directs his attention to Peter. And Peter is singled out as we shared all of those things together. Peter is singled out. He's the one who's very active, and we did all of his little reminding of his 3 1/3 years in the ministry with our Lord, and his coming, his going, his pluses and his minuses, his denial, and his drawing his sword out to take on the whole Roman contingent army and the army of the Jewish temple police, take on everyone. And he did that. Peter was all over the place, always running and leading. And God is trying to help him. And God, and this time, Peter went fishing, and the others followed him. Now, we share together in the process that in verse 15, that the Lord asked 3 questions of Peter, each question leading to the next question. And it goes downhill. Peter isn't catching on. And we shared together in using again verse 15. Peter, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And the word love is the word God uses. God is love. God is love. And so having said that, keeping that in mind, so God is love. And so when you receive, how do you receive the love of God? How do you know the love of God? When you receive his Son, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. God is love. God gives his Son. When you receive the Son of God into your heart, John 1:12, God brings you his love in his person, so that you can enjoy and exercise his wonderful person, so that you can know the love of God. How do I know? Do I feel it? Do I know it? No, it's in his wonderful person. God is love. God in your heart, if you're saved, God in your heart is the love that he brings to you. It's in his person. It can't be deteriorated, can't deteriorate. No one can corrupt it. No one can do anything to change the love God has for you. No one. Why? Because it's in his person. You can't touch it. Wow. Now, having said that, he uses that word. And in the process, and Peter does not use that word. Feel like Philadelphia, I'm fond of having, I care about you, I'm your friend, I like you. That word, love. And so the Lord said, do you love me? He tells him, do you love me? Love me, God. That's God's word for love. Giving of himself in his most wonderful way, based on Calvary's cross. In giving of himself, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's answer is, you know I care about you. I'm your friend. Okay. Our Lord asks the second question. And again, he uses the same, though this time no comparison, as he did, as we shared together in verse 15. And in this time, in verse 16, lovest thou me? Same verb, do you love me? And that's the word we're looking at. And he wants to know if Peter loves him straightway, not comparing yourself with anybody, just do you love me? And Peter answered the same way, verse 16, the end. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee. You know I love thee. And the same word, you know I'm your friend. You know I care about you. You know I have a wonderful commitment to you in that sense. But Peter isn't using the word. He isn't using God's word, love. He isn't using that. Using is the word that people use, love. And that's what he was using. That's what he stayed with. The third question asked this time, and in verse 17, I'll read the verse. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Okay. Peter was grieved, saddened, sorrowful, distressed that he was asking. Why? Could you catch it in a second? Yeah, he's the third time, but he's saying a word that Peter isn't relating to. Verse 17, Peter was grieved, saddened, because he said unto him, the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, that thou knowest thou things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now the third time, in verse 17, lovest thou me? Only now, this time, the Lord doesn't use the word, for God is love, God is love. He doesn't use that word. He uses Peter's word, and saying it then, God said in verse 17, Peter, are you my friend? Do you really care about me? Do you like me? Are you my friend? That's what Peter's been saying. And so the Lord uses his same word, Peter, are you my friend? Kind of thing. Now, and Peter answers, being grieved, humbled, saddened, ashamed, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am your friend. That's as far as he got. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, so here, in the process, Peter is not catching on. Peter is unable to relate to God's love. God's love requires God. God is love. Go over, you'll see it just as we do this, so you lock it in. Over to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 4. And picking up if I can. Yeah, we read it. 1 John chapter 4. May I pick up, please, starting in verse 10, just to catch the flavor of it. Herein is love, not that we loved God. Peter isn't loving God. He said, I'm your friend. Peter isn't able to say that yet. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Peter, are you catching on that God loves you? He isn't catching on. It isn't connecting yet. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Sliding down, if I can. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us, completed. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given to us his Spirit. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it real. What's the trouble, Peter? He isn't looking, he's waiting. He tried to live the life that God had for 3 1/3 years in Christ. He could only look at Christ, talk to Christ, and enjoy our Lord's person and presence. But he could never, in his own heart, he never had what the Lord Jesus had, God in Christ, in his God, Christ in God. Christ had God in his heart. Peter never had that. The disciples didn't have that. Like we did in Sunday school, relationship. They didn't have that. They had a wonderful thing, but they didn't have that. So therefore, what are we looking at? Well, here's God, and Peter needs to have a relationship to God by the Spirit of God in the end of verse 13. And we have seen and do and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. In other words, I have received the Lord as my Savior. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16, there's your word love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Therefore, 19, we love him because he first loved us. So I can't possibly relate Peter, he can't possibly relate to God because he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that relationship to God that is required. How can you enjoy the love of God if you aren't letting the love of God love you? 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So here is our Lord, and here's Peter. And Peter went fishing. He was supposed to go and wait for the Lord and not go fishing, as we shared all those things. He went back to work. And Peter has to tune in and get his act right in a most wonderful way. Now God, you aren't looking at Peter because you like him. You're looking at Peter because you died on the cross for him. And you love, God so loved Peter that he gave his only begotten Son. And Peter, that's why. Peter, I'm loving you, but you aren't waking up to it. For us human beings, John 3:16, God so loved each one of us. But if we don't receive and understand God is love and he's giving himself to us, paying the price on Calvary's cross, if I don't see that, then the best I can do is try to do the best I can for him and try to go to church and do all those things. But I never get into the what? I never get into the love part. I never get into that because I don't have it. God has to give me, do something to me. That's why Acts chapter 2, unless the Spirit of God come. Acts 1:8, you'll have power after the Spirit of God has come to be my witnesses. You can't be my witness without me. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in you. But do you understand? Without me, you can't do anything. So Peter, you went fishing all by yourself. You were with a guy, with all the people that went with you, Peter, James, and John. And they all went. And so here's Peter going. And Peter is ashamed. He's embarrassed, as it were, and saddened, as we shared together. And God said to him each time, at the end of verse 15, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, I should say, feed my lambs. And in the process, feeding the lambs, what are we going to do, feeding the lambs? Well, we're going to feed, just like feeding them. We're going to give them all the nourishment they need. And the second word, down in verse 16, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Not my lambs, feed my sheep. They're my lambs, they're my sheep. Underline a little personal pronoun, mine. They happen to belong to me. They're my lambs and my sheep. Verse 17, again, feed my sheep. I want you to feed them. What do we know, God, about this sheep business? Over to Isaiah and chapter 40. And in Isaiah and chapter 40, picking up, please, you'll catch it in verse 11, 40:11. And our land, remember John the Baptist is going to announce his coming, cried, verse 6, and the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass, etc. And thou Lord's there, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. What about the Lamb of God that died on the cross? Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. God's going to take care of his people, his lambs, his sheep. God's going to feed them, care for them, take care of them in a most wonderful way. Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That's Peter's assignment. Peter has to have the power. It isn't that Peter can't do it and won't do it. It's just Peter does not have the oomph to do. He doesn't see it. The same as there's all kinds of wonderful, wonderful truth that is in front of us. We see it, but we don't see it. We don't understand it. We could read the Bible and totally miss what it said. We just didn't get it. Sometime we get it, hopefully, but we just didn't get it. Just didn't get it. The truth is there. Peter isn't ready to get this. He has to have something happen. And God already told them, as we've been studying, talking together, thinking about it, God already told them he had to get some, God had to help him to know him as a Savior. The Spirit of God has to come to help you. If the Spirit of God doesn't come, he will teach you all things, etc. So you don't have to have a good memory. God will take care of it. But the Spirit of God's going to do that. But Peter, are you looking to understand that? Not yet, not yet. So therefore, feed my sheep. Now, in the light of that, and in Luke chapter 22, and in Luke chapter 22, picking up by me, you'll catch it, if I can, remember what we did in verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat, so to find out all the bad things, the weak things in your life. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith, the body of truth you're resting on to understand, fail not, and when thou art converted, turned around, strengthen, make firm, make steadfast the brethren. You're going to turn around, you're going to see it, Peter, and you went through it. They didn't go through any of this, you did. And so in the process, you're the one to go and exercise it. And you know from Isaiah 53, verse 6, etc., all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the sheep, and we shared together last time all that, sheep are terrible. They need shepherd. They go all over the place. They aren't like a wolf or something. They're sheep. And then they just wander all over. And they need help. So therefore, God having said that and keeping that in mind, the Spirit of God is going to do a wonderful thing to help them. Now, and God's going to use his word. Feed my sheep. You've got to take my word. Shepherd, care for them. Help them, feed them. That's what you're going to do. So they grow and know. Now God, how are we going to do that? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to do that. And reminding yourself and myself, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and remember the wonderful instructions we have. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up please, I'll do verse 9 because it's good to remember and be reminded. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, made ready for them that love him. We love him because he first loved us. So as we respond, you can't respond to something you don't have and you're already in your heart. How can I respond to something? I got to have it. I'm receiving God's love. I recognize God's love. I'm letting God love me, which is very hard for us to do, to let God love us. That's so hard for us humans, to let God love us. And God's loving us. When we let God love us, God's doing his wonderful work in our head and heart to bring about his awesome, the relationship we're to have, to enjoy that relationship to God. And when we're exercising our relationship to God, what are we going to do? What are we doing? We're loving the relationship. We're loving God that you care to save us, to keep us. You have a wonderful plan for our life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm responding, God. I love. Peter can't say that yet. Spirit of God has to do it. So therefore, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, God in Christ, in his infinite person, not in his physical person, because he's seated at the right hand of God, but he is God. So as God, God the Son, you have a unique relationship to God, and you're to exercise that relationship to God in a most wonderful way. And so therefore, God, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring on board, you receive God as your Savior, and you bring on board the ship, going to go down a road, and the Spirit of God's going to ministry to make sure all the cargo is what God has made possible on Calvary's cross for you to have everything that you could ever, 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 ever need. He brings all the saving grace, all the mercy, all the benefits of being a son into your heart. That's the Spirit of God's ministry to make sure the cargo as you go is everything you need. How? Are we to understand the cargo? And there's these big ships, you know. They have big, big, big ships today. They used to have big ships, but now they got big, big, big ships. Big ships. Ships that hold other ships. What can I tell you? Now, and so in that big ships, and the cargo places, they put huge, huge, huge. God, what are you going to do? Who could I understand? What's on board my ship as I go down the corridor? What am I carrying in my heart? What have I got? How am I going to know it? God's word. How so? The Spirit of God. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God's a wonderful ministry. Now, hold your finger there, since we're all sidetracked a little bit. Hold your finger there. Go over, back over to Romans 8. What do I know about the Spirit of God? And chapter 8, Spirit of God's going to make sure we understand we're children. The children, verse 15, adopted children, placed as sons, in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 15. Sliding over to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weakness. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. No. Prayer, our relationship to God, practice it. What should I say? But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Spirit of God knows exactly what God has in mind. Ephesians 2:10, God is going to do what? He's going to outwork the wonderful thing he has in mind when he created you. And that's what he's going to do. Now, who knows that? Only God knows that. God knows why he let you be born on planet Earth. God knows what he's going to do with you in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, over in chapter, verse 27, 8:27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God the Father knows God the Holy Spirit, because he maketh what? He's talking the things of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to outwork what? The plan. That's his plan. It's wonderful. Wonderful plan. I had to do that to think what next thing to say. Pretty soon I'm just going to go and take it out and go. What can I tell you? And then it's wonderful, because I don't care what you say or do. You know. Okay. Where are we? Pick it up. Verse 10. But God revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of them? We know all about our little life and all about ourselves, but that's all. Now, having said that, save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, God, you know. Now, we know all about our little selves, how we think and feel, and when we develop all our habits and everything, how we handle everything, we know. God knows. Now, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So how am I supposed to know what's on board my ship? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, they don't know, but the Spirit which is of God, reason, that we might know the things that are freely given given to us of God. In other words, what did you put on board my little heart when I received Christ as my Savior? Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, Encyclopedia Britannica, all of those wonderful things, things which we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what you're doing. Why are we looking at the verses? Because that's the answer. You want to know what God says? Then read God, what God said. What does God mean? What is God after? What does he want us to understand? That's why he gave us his word. We can't just talk and then talk. And I want myself. I want to back up. What on earth is he saying? And how is he saying it to me? And how is it supposed to work? I can't play games. My life is just a little bit. I'm going into eternity. I sure want to don't go in it stupid. I don't want to go in it unsaved. I don't want to go in it stupid. I want to understand. And that's what God wants us for. That's why he gave us his word. And that's why it's all the same God, Genesis to Revelation. God said something, Genesis. He said it again in Numbers. He said it again in Ezekiel. He said it again in Daniel. He said it in Revelation. So you want to know what he said? You got to put it together. Because that's how God gave you the Bible, so you could understand. It's his book. It's outworking human history, secular and sacred, and outworking it. Now, having said that, comparing things, the end of verse 13, with spiritual, but remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why don't they? That's the stupidest thing you just said. Because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Peter, I love you. I'm your friend, said Peter. You got to get past that. You got to get past the friendship business. And he's my Savior. I oppose Karl Marx and communism and all these different things. And we're going to pick Jesus as our friend. Jesus died for us out here. I need to understand Jesus died for you, to save you, to have a unique relationship to God. That's what you need to understand. So when you're trusting God, looking to God, it won't be stupid, because the preacher, think of 1 Corinthians 1, the preaching of the cross to them that is foolishness to them that perish. It's a stupid thing. Christ died on the cross. What a dumb thing. How could that possibly help us? And that's how people think. You have to be saved. Peter, you need to get, the Spirit of God has to help you. You aren't going to get there because it's, God thinks his ways, Isaiah 55, his ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. And he doesn't, us stupid, our little world, we use our brain and all of the wonderful abilities it has to do magnificent things. But it can never touch God's thinking and God's ways. Wonderful. They exceed us as higher than the heavens. So all of the brilliance to put the spaceship and the global positioning and all of that, wonderful. It's nothing compared to God's thoughts. Nothing. So therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to read the Bible to see what it says. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, on your way back, John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, picking up, so you're looking at God's word. That's what I want to do. That's how I can understand. Otherwise, I don't understand. In John 6, keeping in mind, in the context, John 6 and verse 60. Well, verse 60. 6:60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Now, they're listening to the Lord as he gives them instructions and information. And they said, "It's too much to understand having such a relationship to you that you're asking for." Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Are you offended because I told you something you didn't understand? And you will understand it, but not yet, like we're reading in John 21. In John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Living words, the truth, comparing spiritual with spiritual, what God says. You want to know what God says, what God is after? God put on board your heart all of the cargo, all that you need. Who administers the cargo? Who makes sure you never have a shortage? The Spirit of God. It's his ministry to make sure the ship is properly cared for. Peter, what are you going to have to do? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed them. Feed them. Shepherd them. I want you to go and feed my sheep. And that's what Peter's going to do. Because Peter's part of the 11 apostles, and they're given a wonderful, wonderful ministry to give you the New Testament. And so here's Peter. Hang on. And in the process, God's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to take his word. And since we're on that thought, hang on to it, in the light of Peter. Peter, that's what you're going to do. You aren't there yet. You aren't there. It's going right over your head. You missed it. You missed it. You won't miss it for long. But I'm helping you. This is what you're missing, your relationship to me. You want understanding. I love you. And you don't understand, I love you. That isn't making sense. God's saying to you, I love you, and that isn't clicking in our little brain. I love you. That isn't clicking. And it isn't clicking in Peter's brain. Isn't clicking. And so God says, this is what you're going to do, though, Peter. You're going to go and feed my sheep and shepherd my sheep, etc. Now, over to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, picking up in verse 3, chapter 3, I should say, 2 Timothy 3, may I go directly to verse, what we're looking at, and since we get on that, Spirit of God and the Word of God. Verse 16, 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is going to have a wonderful, wonderful ministry. Verse 17, that purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, finished, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, so that you have everything you need. You got to go down the corridor of time. I don't want you to worry. I want you to know. Here comes the storm in the ocean. Don't worry. And we're going to run out of eggs. I remember that, you know, on the ship. Are we running out of eggs? You know, what can I tell you? In the story. Out in the ocean. Now, in the process. Wow. You never run out. You never run out. As you travel, you'll never run out. Whether you run out of grace, John 1:16, and I'm going to give you, you're going to receive grace in place of grace in place of grace. And where's it going to come from? John 1:14, he's full of grace. He is the grace of God. Grace means the giving of God totally, God's giving it. You don't, all you do is receive it. You have nothing to add to it. You just get it. God's going to give you grace, verse 16, in place of grace, in place of grace. You never run out. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Easy, hard. Having a lot, having little. Won't matter. You've got grace, wonderful grace. The Word of God, where do I know that? From the Word of God, the Scriptures. And what do you know about the Scriptures? Well, it's foolishness to the unsaved. They have their deaf. They're blind, blind, dumb, deaf. So do they hear? No, they don't hear. They don't hear. Did you hear him? No. No, didn't want to hear him. I didn't have an ear to hear. Therefore, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, in the light of verse 17, chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. What are we going to do then? Preach the word. Herald the word. Be instant. In other words, get out what it says. You know what a herald does, don't you? You remember? No, you don't. Back with the kings. And the herald does what? He gets the king's thing, and the king gives him his thing to post, and the herald gets it. King signs it, copies, and you out the door you go, down the corridor you go, and you go over to the nearest town and stick it on a doorpost or something, and you stick the thing up. This is the proclamation. And the herald delivers it just like it says. That's what it, preach the word. What does it say? What does it say? That's what we're doing. How can we preach the word? By understanding the scriptures, plural. I can't just take one spot. I need to get a fullness. And then I could take the one spot and deliver it. But I can deliver the one spot because we have a better grasp of the whole thing. I can talk about your physical problem in one sentence because I understand the whole problem that you have. There's 1,000 things about your problem, but I'm only can talk. But the doctor knows them. You see, the doctor has all of this, maybe, in his head, and he has it. But he's only going to talk to you about one thing. He knows all of it. How can he talk this one? How could he say that to you? Because he has this big picture. That's how we teach the Word of God. The picture. And out of it, I can say it, boom. Because that's what it says. Preaching. Heralding. That's herald. Now, so what have we got in chapter 4? Preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrines. For the reason, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They don't want to know. That's why you don't have the Bible very much. We're trying to keep a little of it and trying to do a little bit. That's what we're trying to do. But it isn't being done today. It's all disappeared. People don't want to hear it. They don't have an ear to hear. They don't really want to know what it says, do you? No more than they did in the days like in Jeremiah and that we're doing. No one wanted to know that Nebuchadnezzar was really, really, really going to level the city. No one wanted to know that. No one wanted to even think about that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I may, in God's wonderful, wonderful word, therefore, with John 21. In John chapter 21, picking up, please. Now, having known having not feed my sheep, having done that, keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, Peter needed God's love. Peter cannot care for the sheep, cannot care and feed. He can't even feed his own soul. Peter has to go and have a wonderful work of God take place on the day of Pentecost. And God, the Spirit of God, is going to go and take over and bring to his heart in Christ all the cargo that he needs. And he can deliver the goods, and he never needs to run out. He never needs to worry. There won't be enough grace. There won't be enough mercy. There won't be enough caring. There won't be enough love. And we're saying, oh, no. It's impossible. It's impossible to bankrupt God. It's impossible to decrease God. You can't take anything away from God. God is everything he is and says, period. And that's what he's doing. He's being God to you. He can never be less than who he is. Never. And God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. And Peter, you're going to have to learn it. Therefore, in verse 18, we aren't going to get very a little bit, though. You understand, God loves Peter. Peter has to love God. You want us, dear believers, we say it, God help us. You and I need, if we're saved, we need to get saved because God loves us. And we have no word, either we're going to let love God love us on God's, whatever that means to God, that means to save us fully and completely. So I'm going to have to let God love me with no arguments and let God love me. And when I let God love me, I'm going to receive that love in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God is going to go and I'm going to begin to understand being saved, having a relationship to God. And when that relationship to God starts to blossom like a flower and starts to grow, I'm going to find myself. I need to be saved. I get saved. I love being saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad God loves me. I'm going to be, let God love me. And letting God love me means he's going to change my life and work in my life in a most wonderful way. Think of Sunday school. And he's going to do a wonderful thing in my heart to change me, to enjoy what? God's love. That's what he's going to do. Peter, that has to happen to you. Peter is Peter. And Peter is going to go and fight. But he isn't going to fight much longer. Peter is almost done fighting, except picking up, he isn't quite done. Chapter 21, and we can just pick it up, verse 18. Verily, verily, that's why you know John, the Apostle John, when he writes, his pen writes, when John writes with his pen, he's the only one that writes verily, verily. So whenever you read verily, verily in John 25 times, it's John says, I'm the writer. I'm the penman God's using. Verily, verily, amen, amen, so be it. Therefore, verse 21, 18, 18, 21, 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, Peter, when thou wast younger, Thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldst. But in other words, when you were younger, we aren't talking about a child. We're talking about before this, we're looking right now on the beach, talking to the Lord. He said, before this, went yesterday and all the days before, When you were younger, you went and dressed yourself. You did what you wanted to do. You had initiative. You were animated. You would, one minute you have a sword, and the next minute you deny the Lord. So you protect the Lord, deny the Lord. You're all over the place, Peter. You're very quick. Who jumped over the side? In John 21, Peter did. Peter. But before Peter jumped over the side, Peter didn't catch them. Who said, throw your net on the right side and you'll catch fish, and a whole pile of fish? Who said that? The Lord did. Peter didn't catch it, but John's different. He said, that's the Lord. And Peter said, it is. And boom, he went into the beach. That's what he did. Because Peter's slow. He's quick, slow. Isn't contemplate. Quick to do. That's what he did. So here's Peter. You gird yourself. And I'll finish it, then you get it, catch it. Whether thou wouldst not. You did what you wanted to do, Peter. How's that? Everyone does what they want to do, as you understand things. But when thou shalt be old, then thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and dress thee and do what he wants with thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. You're going to go and die. You aren't just going to die. You're going to die crucifixion. And he tells Peter, you're going to be crucified and you won't like it, but you're going to be. You dressed and did what you wanted to. But coming up, he dies just before Peter, just before Paul. Nero's in charge. And you're going to die, Peter, on the cross. That's what you're going to do. Now that all comes together. I have to quit, I think. I got to quit. Thank you. I hope you got a little bit. We didn't do much, but I hope you got a little bit. The scriptures. Our Father and God, thank you for your word and work and set apart it all. God, you know, we're just trying a little bit. Thanks a lot. In Christ's name.